Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present the series Spiritual Warfare. This is Session 4, Studying the Enemy's Techniques with Dennis Peacock.
We're sharing on studying the enemy's techniques. I think we finally broke through to where we need to go because we're dealing with a very difficult subject. We're trying to change the mindset of believers. We're trying to communicate that it is God's will to move us from defense to offense, and that God really expects us to learn how to fight. And that if we're going to learn how to fight, we're going to have to learn how to identify the enemy's attacks. We're going to have to learn how to find our strengths and weaknesses. And we're going to have to learn a whole set of techniques. How many of you felt the Holy Spirit just open your mind to a whole new reality of what spiritual warfare is designed to be? I felt the Holy Spirit do it. And even if you are not consciously aware, I guarantee God planted a seed in you that is going to take you from defense to offense. Now, we're dealing with studying the enemy. Any good fighter always studies his opponents. If you were a boxer, if you were a professional boxer, you would get the films of your next opponent, and you would watch those films over and over and over and over and over. Now, if a boxer is going to study the films of a natural opponent for the sake of a prize fight, how much more should we as children, sons and daughters of God, study the opponent's techniques who is against us for our salvation and for the fruitfulness and effectiveness of our lives? In fact, I'd hazard a guess that there probably isn't 10 of you who have ever sat down and made a list of the way that the enemy attacks you or your family. And he doesn't do a whole lot of new stuff because what he already does works pretty good. And yet you've never even studied what it is. How does he come? Have you ever noticed any patterns? Is there any way to identify what he's doing and when he's doing it and how he's doing it? Now, we said earlier that Jesus Christ is commanded to be seated at God's right hand until his enemies have become a footstool. And I tried to communicate as clearly as I know how that Jesus Christ is not going to come back until he has to pull the church off the devil instead of pulling the devil off the church. You say, man, that is so far off in space. I cannot relate to Satan, whom God will shortly put under your feet. You cannot relate to warfare as anything other than the enemy coming after us. As a matter of fact, our whole theology is built around the mythology that the devil is going to bring the church under such a siege that Christ is going to have to come and rescue us. Now, that isn't what the Bible says, by the way. In Matthew 13, Jesus said that the wicked are the ones he's going to first remove. He says, first gather up the tares. Don't gather up the righteous, gather up the wicked. Because they're now no longer needed for what it is I'm doing with my kids. The purpose of spiritual warfare, from God's perspective, is always redemptive if you pay attention. What happens if you don't pay attention? You take another lap around the mountain. If you don't pay attention, you take another lap around the mountain. Now, Satan's attacks on us show us our weakness. The way he attacks you is God. The reason God permits him to do it is he wants you to see where you're weak. Now, how many of you have ever even taken note of where Satan says you're weak? You say, oh, I'm under attack. And again, you know, good fighters keep their cool in the middle of battle and are watching what is going on. The greatest fighters are the ones who can watch. They see everything going on around them. How many of you, when you get under attack, see anything? You just kind of hunker down and we say, oh my God, I'm under attack. I don't know what I did, and I don't know why this is happening, and I'm not even sure what is happening, but something really bad is happening. And I'm just praying it'll go away, quick. and you start firing in every direction. You're rebuking this and casting this out, putting the blood on this. It's like you're firing in all directions at once, hoping you'll hit something. That's not how you fight. The way you fight is you watch, you watch. It's like playing baseball. It's like hitting a tennis ball. You watch what is coming in all the way. You watch it come in. You know what it is. You know where to block it. You know what you're going to do with it. And you know where you're going to counter. Now, we don't think that way. And because we don't think that way, we don't have much power when we go to counterattack. Now, the one thing we see in Christ and in His disciples, in fact, the interesting thing is, remember when He sent them out in Matthew 10 and they came back with one report. What was the thing that blew their minds? They said, even the devils can't withstand us. They had moved from defense to offense, and more than anything else, it blew their minds. They didn't say, well, we heal the sick. As impressive as that was, that isn't what they commented on. What they marveled at was that they were able to attack devils, and devils were afraid of them. Which tells us that devils are vulnerable. They can be damaged. Praise God, we need this rain. They reveal patterns of Satan's defense when we get near his guns and rice. In Vietnam, I am told, I didn't serve in Vietnam, but in a guerrilla war, one of the ways you can tell that you're into something is all hell breaks loose. When you get near the enemy's guns and rice, action. Okay? Now, if you pay attention to the patterns of warfare, some patterns are going to emerge where you will be able to see that all hell breaks loose. The question then becomes, what is it that I am near that is in my sphere of ministry that makes him respond like this every time I get near it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you ever taken the time to study what it is that causes explosions in the spirit? There's got to be a good reason. If there's an explosion repeatedly, when you start doing a certain thing, that's a clue that you are getting near something that the enemy does not want you near. What is it? And what are you going to have to do to prepare yourself? So that when you come at it, if every time you go out to minister in a certain way, your kids get sick, then that's a clue that before you're going out to minister in that way, that you've got your kids fully protected in the spirit. You must learn the patterns of what this war is about. All successful warfare requires the careful evaluation of the enemy's resources. Nehemiah sent his men out at night to do the reconnaissance. Nehemiah 2:12-13. As a result of his analysis, the men were stationed where they were most motivated to fight. That was at home. They were taught to accept a trowel and a sword as normal. Now, how many of us as leaders have taught our wives and our children to accept warfare as normal? I mean, we shouldn't even make a deal out of warfare. Warfare is every day. If you're making a big deal out of being in war, you don't understand the nature of the call. War has got to be a normal thing. You should be expecting it. You should teach your kids to expect it. Everybody should expect war because we're called to war, not peace. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. A wise warrior should strategically use warfare. Now, hear me, those of you that work in the cities as leaders. I'm going to get scary on you now because you're going to tell that I really am serious about what I'm talking about. In any city that I go in, I'm looking to identify who the players are. In that city, there will be a variety of players. There will be enemies. Now hear me. There can be enemies who love Jesus, but relative to what you're carrying, they are your enemy. And you're living in la-la land and total unreality if you don't understand that. I could go around this country, and obviously I'm not going to do this, but I could give you cities, and I could give you the names of people in those cities who are Christians, and some of them Christian leaders, who actually oppose the message that I bring of calling elders to the gates of the city. Because it cuts across their agenda, or it threatens them in some way, and I know who they are. And I pray against their influence. Okay? Every single one of you, when you begin to move in a particular direction, you are going to find people who oppose you. And bless your heart, you're a dum-dum if you haven't identified who they are. I'm being funny, but I'm trying to be, you know, straight as I can. We need to recognize who is there who opposes us. And we need to observe their patterns. We need to do reconnaissance so that when we come into a situation where they are. Now, you got some in your neighborhood. You got some in your neighborhood who are enemies of the gospel. You need to know who they are. So you can pray against them and bind them. You can learn their patterns. You have potential enemies, and you need to learn how to isolate them. He has trained my hands for war. Now, I will run into some people who, when I discern where they're at, and I scope them. If I talk about radaring somebody, do you know what I'm talking about? Okay? I'll say something, because now we're talking about fighting in the Spirit. I'll let something out of me, and then stand back and watch what it does. I'll say, boom, I'll just let a little out. Remember that we're talking about fighting techniques? We said one of the reasons to attack is to see what your enemy knows. So I'll let something out in the Spirit, then I'll step back and watch who does what. And when I'm in a room with leaders especially, I am on full combat technique of watching how everybody is responding to what is coming out of my Spirit. And when I'm on my game, when the Holy Spirit is really ministering through me, I can pick out who is who pretty well. And give me 3 or 4 hours with a group of men, and in the main, I'll tell you who my enemies are, I'll tell you who the neutrals are, I'll tell you who the potential enemies are, and who I need to go to and isolate so that whatever's on them isn't going to infect anybody else. I'll be able to tell you who the friends are, and I'll be able to tell you the leaders. Because spiritual warfare, combat, requires you to function on a reconnaissance level so that you're sending out signals like radar that bounce back to you with information. Now, the one person in the... I'm just talking in the natural. And I'd be funny here, but it's true. I talked with somebody at the break, and they said, this teaching can't be of God because karate's of the devil. I'm being funny, and obviously I'm not in any way promoting martial arts or anything like that at all. And I know that, you know, anybody that's into the martial arts that hasn't renounced demonic spirits that go with it, you need to do that. I did that years ago, okay? So I just want to get that on tape because somebody is going to, I know how this thing works. Somebody is going to come to me down the road and say, you're, you know, pushing martial arts or blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not. Please listen. I'm not. Okay? In fact, one of the first things the Holy Spirit did to me was He made me throw away my black belt. Now, that was hard, because it represented so much work. 10 years later, He let me train again. Okay? But I had to throw it away for what it meant to me in the beginning. Now, the one person I don't want to fight... Let me say something about fighting. And this is true in the Spirit. Let me say this to you men. I'm just speaking foolishly in the natural. You are not going to run into black belt fighters on the street who want to fight you because, frankly, they're not interested in fighting you. You are not even in the game to anything that would interest them because somebody who's got the bug is looking for somebody who is on their level, and you're not going to find that person on the street. But the one person that you didn't want to fight when you were on a tournament-level fighter is somebody you'd never fought before or you'd never seen before because you didn't know what they knew. And you had to, if you had no reconnaissance, you had a very short period of time, as in seconds, to begin to probe and find out what they knew. Now, hear me. The devil, Satan and his minions have been at this for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They have literally seen billions of people, and they've seen every habit pattern of human beings that's ever been on God's green earth. And because they really want to win, they're not just into Pyrrhic victory, they really want to win, they have scoped out your style and what you know that fast because they've seen 3,000 people exactly like your personality type before. Now, for us to go on the offense, we are going to have to become as skilled in identifying what is coming against us as they are skilled in identifying us. Now, as long as the battle is impersonal, you're never going to pay attention to what's coming against you. A war has got to have a name and a face. A war has got to have a name and a face. To successfully engage your opponent has got to become real to you. Now, you don't have just one person who may come against you. You may have a number of different spirits. You know who they are? Can you feel them? Is your spirit sensitive enough yet to be able to discern what they are so that when they begin to attack you, because you've dealt with them before, you say, oh, I know who you are, and I know how I got rid of you last time, and here's what I'm going to do to you because I've studied your style, I know who you are, and I know how to deal with you. Warfare requires that level of skill. In times of war, we need to identify what comes against our base camp. Now, one of the reasons most of us are afraid to really get into war is because the moment we go into war, the enemy comes around and attacks the base camp. He attacks your wife, your kids, somebody else. Now, we got to find out what his pattern is. Because you can't go out to war if every time you go out, you got to turn around and deal at home. How many of you have ever noticed that there might be a pattern that happens to your home when you get ready to go to a conference or somewhere to ministry? There's a clue there. What are you going to do in the future to guard your home and to guard your home base so that you've prepared for that and God has shown you how to cover the holes and the possible weaknesses in your defense? Do you ever think like that? Why not? If you don't think like that, what do you enjoy? Getting your head hit with a hammer 15,000 times? Why don't you think like that? Why don't you think like that? Because we view warfare as magic that is unpredictable and it's just something that happens to us. No, it is not something that just happens to you. There is a pattern behind it, and you need to study your enemy's pattern. Satan's primary methodology of warfare is to draw us into his world using his three greatest strengths, which are flaws in his character, to fight. Now, when you would fight people of different styles, you could tell, because there's only so many things you can do with a human body, depending upon the way that they would face you, you could tell what they could do and what they couldn't do, okay? Somebody who would face you to the side like this was a front foot fighter because you can't kick with a rear foot facing this way. Now, the advantage of facing this way is, what's the advantage of facing this way? Can anybody tell me just by looking at me? I've got a very narrow target. In order to hit me, you're going to have to do a round technique. You're going to have to do a spinning technique. So anybody who faces you like this in the spirit, you're going to get a bunch of circular attacks coming at you because that's all they can do. Okay? Somebody faces you like this, there's more target, but you're going to get straight ahead attacks. Now you may get some round ones, but basically the position of the body tells you what's going to happen. Now if that's true in the natural, how much truer is that in the spirit? So that you're able to discern the position with which the enemy is coming you, what he is going to be able to do. Now, the more I've invested into studying this stuff, the more I see it's absolutely true. And I'm beginning to feel like the disciples who said, I can't believe it, even the enemy can be figured out and defeated. All you got to do is discern where he's coming from and what he's about. Now, Satan's got three primary methodologies. Number one is deception. The number one defense against deception is discernment. The nature of deception is that it's coming at you where you don't think it is. Now, good fighters are good cheaters. When you fight, one of the things you want to do is create a distraction. So if we are fighting in the natural, again, I'm just speaking foolish, but I'm using reality techniques, okay? If I want to kick you in the stomach, assuming you're a good fighter, what am I going to have to do to set you up? I'm going to have to do something to draw your attention to your head. So I'm going to do some technique that's a head technique before I even let go what my real intention is. Now, Satan fights exactly that way. He will hit you with one thing that is a distraction so that he can deceive you with what his real blow is that he wants to deliver. So that what we need to understand in the Spirit, if that's a basic law, and it is, that the first thing coming at me is probably not what the real issue is. The real issue is yet to come. And I've seen this. This is a law. The first two or three things that the enemy will throw at me are almost always diversions to get my attention on them so that when the real thing that he's after in my life shows up, what? I never saw it coming. Think about the major wars you've been in your life in the Spirit. The major wars you've been through, you never saw coming because you were responding to something that was a fake. It was an energy attention getter. It wasn't the real thing. Now, when you are under deception, when the enemy is using deception, normal issues and events become exaggerated and distorted. If you have a cold, it has become cancer. If you have a zit, it has become a cyst. If you have a sore throat, your larynx is being destroyed. Okay? It blurs everything around you. It is distorted. Sometimes I've gone to bed with so much warfare on me, the enemy is demanding that I try and solve problems and situations right now. And at this stage of my life, I say, oh, go away, I'm going to sleep. You are not going to lure me into dealing with those situations right now because I perceive that in my fatigue, I have a distorted picture. One of the ways you know you're under warfare is people say things that blow you out of the water. What did you really mean by that comment, Rick? You said this. Now, Rick may have said that same thing to me or something similar 50 times, went by me, didn't mean a thing. But this time, I heard something new in it. You know what that is? That's warfare. It's a distortion. What people say and what people do, their meanings come into question on a level that is totally out of reality. Husbands and wives, do you know anything about what I'm saying? Hello. Connie, what did you really mean by that? What do you mean, what did I mean by that? I said this. No, but I heard something else in that. What did you mean? See, all of a sudden, you're in a distortion factor. And communication is now becoming distorted. Motives are being challenged. All kinds of stuff is thrown up in the air. Now, you and I are complete suckers if we get involved in that stuff. It's all a deception to engage us in fighting ghosts. It's not real. It's only real if we make it real. Okay, now, here we are fighting again. Basic fighting technique. Here I come, boom, 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 boom. Designed to do what? Get you involved with it so that I can do what? Wham! Get you with something you don't see that's really powerful. The nature of deception is it operates where you don't think it is. Your vision becomes lost. And you get preoccupied with details and minutia. Ladies, can I say something to you? I see you bracing. This is a generalization, but it's more true than not. Women are better on details than most men. Proverbs 31 is not an abnormality, it's a real statement. that women by nature, most women, pay a whole lot more attention to details than men. Men are philosophizers and we deal with, you know, we want to deal with the big important issues, quote unquote. While you ladies make things run and hold things together. Now, that is a strength, but it also is a great weakness. Because those of you ladies who are into details can be blown out of the saddle so quickly and so easily because all the devil's got to do is boom, 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 and you're totally preoccupied in minutia. You're actually out of the war in terms of spiritual battle because you've got caught up in little bitty details. You know, this needs to be done and that needs to be done and da, 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 and your spirit is caught up in all that stuff. That's what Martha's problem was. Martha was doing good things, but her spirit was preoccupied and caught up in small details so that she couldn't see the bigger picture. Warfare will get you caught up in small details. I had a couple of days off and I went in the office. And as I went in the office, the Holy Spirit said, "What are you doing in here?" He said, "Is there anything in here that has any real value relative to this conference?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, go home." Because what the enemy wants to do is get you involved in details. When I don't want you involved in details, I want to call you up to something else. Now, discernment is knowing when to get involved in details and when not to get involved in details. Ignorance. The second major weapon the enemy has is ignorance. And what's the antidote? The Word of God. The enemy beats us up with what we don't know but should know. He lures us into Vietnam. How many of you have ever served in a spiritual Vietnam that you never should have got involved in the first place? You see, one of the things that I want to recognize in the Spirit is the tar baby. The tar baby. One of the people I do not want to fight is a grabber. Okay? All my training had to do with distance fighting. I do not want to get involved with somebody who's going to grab and grapple because that's not my strength. The last thing I want is somebody grabbing onto me. So I've got stuff I had to learn how to deal with that so nobody could get a hold of you. Now, what does the grabber want to do? He wants to get a hold of you and bring you into his techniques. That's what the enemy wants to do. He isn't going to fight you at a distance that's comfortable to you. He wants to get you on his ground because good fighters always get their opponent on their ground. That's how you win. You win by fighting on your ground. My style of fighting was more like this. Well, I never wanted to keep somebody like this. So how do I get somebody who fights me like this on my ground? I've got to move over to the side so that they have to turn to face me square. And while they're turning, now I got them on my ground. Boom, 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 boom. I took them off their ground and put them on my ground by technique. That's exactly what the enemy does to us. He takes us off our ground in Christ and gets us on his ground so that he can do what he wants to do. And we got to learn how he does it so he can't do it anymore. Now the problem is, do you believe that's possible? You see, that's what we're fighting right now in the Spirit. I watched the Holy Ghost open you up and all of a sudden a new world opened to you. And you said in your spirit, "You know what, I think he's right. I think it's possible that the Lord could train my hands for war and that I actually can understand and come to the point where I identify what's coming after me in such a way that I can deal with it and go after it and actually go on the offense." And some of you are going to go out of here changed human beings. That's a fact. Others of you have got seed that I'm just putting in you. And it may take a week, it may take 3 weeks, it may take 3 months, it may take 3 years. Whatever Jesus is saying to you right now, the Holy Ghost will call to your remembrance and it'll germinate. And somewhere down the road, when you're under attack, the Holy Spirit's going to call all this stuff to remembrance and your eyes are going to get a new look in them and you're going to say, "Wait a minute, what is this? Now show me how he does that again. Ah, now I see that. Here it comes. I'm not there anymore. And this is what God has given me as my strength in the name of Jesus." And you're going to get happy. You're going to join the disciples who say, "Even the devils Everybody say with me, even the devils. Ignorance. One of the things that warfare shows us is the strength of our relationships. Now, all relationships are like a bridge. There's only one question: how much tonnage can they carry? Brethren, we're going to have to come to the point in the body of Christ where we've got relationships that will carry major tonnage to go where we want to go. And the only way we're going to find out whether or not the relationship will hold major tonnage is what? Stress. You say, oh, I don't want stress. I got a good relationship with him. I love him. I love her. We're covenant brothers. Praise God. You see, if you're in covenant with somebody, you must accept the fact that God will lift the drawbridge so that the enemy can come against the relationship. God will do it. Why? Because God needs to test the tonnage on the bridge. And it's only when your relationships have been tested by heavier and heavier tonnage that you learn that you can trust them. I mean, I got relationships that begin with Jan. We haven't had a perfect marriage. We've had all the same stresses and strains everybody else has. Plus, ladies, how'd you like to be married to a man who's gone half the time, who leaves you to raise the kids 50% of your life? There's no way I can describe to you what it's like to go and come and go and come. It's like having to reestablish the relationship over and over and over and over and over and over for the last 15 years. That's not easy. Now, there's a whole set of things that have had to be put into that bridge to be able to pull that off. Whole set of stuff. My relationships with J.R. Young, who I've been walking with 20 years, we have gone through some stuff. Okay? And it's been God. It has been God. Because the relationship has to be demonstrated to see what it can carry. Especially if you want to go anywhere. Every relationship that is God ordained must be tested by the devil. It must be. Spiritual warfare will reveal the strength of your relationships. The third major weapon that the enemy has is rebellion. And the antidote is a submitted will. Rebellion, the nature of rebellion is, I don't care what God says, I'm going to go my own way. Rebellion leads us to overestimate ourselves and underestimate our opponents. Now, nobody in here has ever done that. But just take it from me who has. Do you know why pride cometh before a fall? Do you understand how this works? It's so simple once you see it. Why does pride go before a fall? Because pride, by its very nature, overestimates your strength and underestimates the power of what it is you're coming against. I used to love to fight proud fighters because pride was their greatest enemy. Especially, one of the things that any fighter who was into it really looked for was watching the face of his opponent crack and crumble when their best techniques didn't work on you. That's a terrible feeling. I've been in that place where the best I knew didn't do the job. That's when you're doing everything you can to say, now, face, hold together. Don't you dare show anything in this face. Eyes, hold together. Because high-level fighting, all you're doing really is watching each other's eyes, reading for the slightest thing you can see, which is either a lapse of attention or a lapse of confidence. And the moment you see it, you're on it. Now, pride, by its very nature, says, I can do more than I can really do. So obviously I'm going to fall because I'm going to get involved in projects. I'm going to take on things and people and situations that I cannot pull off. You see, we look at the Scripture like it's a mystery. Pride cometh before a fall, like God is somehow mysteriously going to do something to make you fall. No, God isn't hardly even involved. He doesn't need to do a thing because the very nature of pride is it causes you to misjudge your opponent. That's why only humility will keep you from getting the foo beat out of yourself. Because humility, by its very nature, gives you an accurate picture of where you are and where the circumstances are around you. Pride goeth before a fall. Pride is like rebellion. Pride is rebellion. Now, let me say two more quick things and we'll wrap this teaching up. It says in Isaiah 42:2, and though some of you have heard me minister on discerning the fundamental nature of people and things. In Isaiah 42:2, it says about Jesus, His voice shall not be heard crying in the streets. I saw a movie one time, and this was a line in the movie, and I was unsaved or backslidden, but the Holy Spirit called it to my remembrance. How many of you ever had God talk to you when you were unsaved? And then later down the road, that thing popped back to you and you say, ah, that's why I remember that. This was the line. The best swords are kept in their scabbards. This old lady, this is a samurai movie. This old lady looked at this samurai and she said, you glisten too much. Don't you know the best swords are always kept in their scabbards? And that one went in me. Now I understand Isaiah 42:42 because of that statement. Jesus, when He would heal people, would immediately put Himself back in the scabbard and say, go tell no man. I mean, can you imagine a modern day evangelist who would raise somebody from the dead and then tell everybody, don't tell anybody? You're never going to happen. Jesus was, I'm speaking foolishly now, Jesus was a terrible evangelist because He wouldn't do PR for Himself because He understood the best swords are kept in the scabbard. I'm not saying this to be funny, but nobody has ever seen everything I know because I've never shown it because I understand something about that. Now, those who are displaying what they know, who are glistening too much, are calling in war on themselves. I never want to come to the point where I come into a situation beating a drum in the spirit. People who beat drums call in enemy fire. I never want to be God's man of faith and power for the hour. I'm not interested in any of that stuff because I understand when you are beating a drum, all you are doing is becoming a target. And I'm not interested in becoming anybody's target. You know, I wonder what will happen when we develop ministries that are so mature that when they actually do the works of God, they try and keep it quiet. So that God can testify according to what He wants to say and let everybody else shut up. Foolish confessions draw fire from God and man. How many of you besides me have ever said something and as soon as it got out of your mouth, you heard how foolish it was and you said, God, erase that. I'm sorry. Forget that. No. I repent. I said it, but I wish I never said it. God, I rebuke it. I rebuke myself in Jesus' name. I'd rather rebuke me in your name than have you rebuke me in your name. I rebuke myself. Now stop that. Don't say that anymore. How many of you pastors have heard people you counsel say things that make you shake in your boots? Because you know what that is going to do when it gets out of their mouth. It is going to draw fire on them. It's going to draw war. It's going to draw testing. It's going to draw all kinds of stuff. Now, I have learned to identify some sounds that I don't want to hear. Here's one I don't want to hear. Brother, I will be with you to the end. We're going to deal with this on Barroom Brawl Theology, but I just give you a preview. Those who are going to be with you to the end usually aren't. The moment somebody starts confessing their loyalty to me, I'm looking for a dagger. You say, oh, really? What is prompting you to say this? Do you have something you want to talk to me about? We need to avoid confessions that draw fire. We need to learn how to slip in and out of town very quietly in the Spirit. I have made the front page of the Bay Area newspapers twice. I have no interest in making those front pages. They weren't saying good things about me. I just put it that way. The only good thing about it was one time I was right next to Joe Montana. At least I felt good about that. See, the bigger, the more you broadcast, the more fire you're calling down on yourself. I want to learn how to hide in the Spirit. I want to learn how to attack, be gone before you ever knew I was there. Okay? Last point. Revealed plans. I do not know how much the devil is permitted to know. Some things, I really mean this, some things should only be whispered. Some things should only be whispered. How many of you have ever felt a check in your spirit when you were going to say something and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, don't say that? Because there was somebody there who was going to hear that wouldn't use it the way it should be used. I've blown that one before, but my speech is getting tighter and tighter and tighter, especially about important things. You see, one of the things you got to learn in this war is what we used to call VRG, verbal religious garbage. What do you really think about this? Oh, I think Jesus is wonderful. Yeah, but what do you really think? Praise God. Yeah, but if you were there, what would you do? Praise, oh, hallelujah. Remember when we were talking about, here it comes, now you see me, now you don't, Teflon. See, when you're a beginner, this is true, not a close. When you're a beginner in fighting, you have very big motions. A kick coming at you, very big motion for a block. But by the time you're a master, you're just gone. What do you really believe about this? All over I got people who want to nail me on eschatology. People want to nail you on predestination. People want to nail you on ultimate reconciliation. People want to do. Here I go. Good swords are kept in the scabbard. Good swords don't advertise because it draws fire. Good fighters like Nehemiah go out at night when nobody can see them. They do their recon at night so that in the day, what you see is the fruit of what they saw about you. God wants us to become, if we're going on offense, God wants to bring us to the point where we know our enemies so well because we've reconned them. We've learned their patterns. We've learned what they do. We've learned when they attack. That we can deal with all that on the way to where we're going. Because I can't go where I want to go until I know how they respond to me. And I will have already decided in God what I'm going to do so that when I meet them coming against me on my way into their camp, I've already gone through what my response is going to be. Can you believe God to bring you to the point where you can go where you want to go having already worked through what you're going to do when the enemy does what he's going to do to you? That, my friend, is victorious living in Jesus. And it's promised to every believer who will let the Lord God mighty in battle train his hands for war. God bless you.
Thank you. This is a copyrighted program of Strategic Christian Services, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California, 95405.